I'm going to speak to us tonight from one of the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We're living in days when I believe most men are forced to consider the uncertainty of life. When you stop and think about it, nothing has really changed in regard to the uncertainty of life by this virus that we are living with today. Man has never been promised tomorrow. In fact, the scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Life in this world has always been uncertain for men and women. The scriptures speak of our life in this world being like a vapor or a cloud that appears for a short time and then it vanishes away. You can make a visit to the cemetery and go through the cemetery there and read the headstones and look at the dates, the years of life that people lived who are there buried. And you will find that there are people, there are bodies there of people from all ages, from the very young to the very old and all in between. Life in this world is uncertain. And yet the scripture here says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Men are being forced, I believe, I trust it so. It would be for their good, be for our good, if men are being forced to consider the fact that life is uncertain and eternity is long. And there's no question that death is before all of us, and we all have an eternity where we will spend in either heaven, in the very presence of God, or be cast into a lake of fire. My friends, there is a long eternity, and life is uncertain. And the scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. So I want us to think tonight about the safety of the righteous. And looking at this proverb, very simple word, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I want to think about this proverb and I want to make three statements. Three statements. The first statement is simply this: the Lord is the strong tower. Now, I know the scripture here says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, but it is the Lord Himself who is the strong tower, a fortress which is impregnable by all the enemies of the righteous. You know, from ancient times, we go back in the book of Genesis, and just after the flood, it wasn't long before we read about the first tower. And it was called the Tower of Babel. And when you read that, you find that men decided to build this tower, and they set up to heaven. They were going to build a tower up to heaven. And what it was the work of unbelief. Because God had given a covenant and given the sign of the covenant, the rainbow, to Noah, that he would never again destroy all flesh, all creatures in this world. He would never do that again by sending the great flood. And yet these men who would build this tower, they thought by their own works, by the works of their hands, they could build themselves a tower, a refuge, a place of safety. And what we see there, when God came down and confounded the languages and scattered the people away, what we see there is the futile attempt of man to provide for himself a safety, a place of safety, a refuge. The scripture here says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The Lord himself, he is the strong tower. We read in the book of Judges, in the days of Gideon, that there were some people who had a tower in their city, and they thought they had a place there of refuge, a place of safety, but it didn't serve, because Gideon and his forces were able to destroy the tower, bring it down. And my friends, there's only one tower of safety for men and women, and that is the Lord himself. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The Lord himself, he is a strong tower. And I'd ask myself and all of us here tonight, where do we look for safety, for refuge? Where do we run? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The Lord is a strong tower, my friends, that men need. You know, God told Moses this. This is found in Exodus chapter 33. Concerning the name of the Lord, this is what I want to point out. God told Moses this, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now listen, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. In that one statement there, that one statement where God told Moses that he would proclaim his name before him, God confesses his absolute sovereignty. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He will show mercy to whom he will show mercy, my friends. Now, most people today, in our country at least, most people who profess to be believers, to be Christians, they will acknowledge that God is sovereign in creation. They will acknowledge that God is sovereign in creation. And then maybe most of them will acknowledge also that he's sovereign in providence. That you were born where God decided you should be born, into the family that God put you in, at the time that God put you into this world, my friends. He's sovereign in creation, he's sovereign in providence, but here is where many people will deny the truth about God's sovereignty. That is that he's sovereign in salvation. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. And then in the next chapter, this is what I want to bring to us. In the next chapter of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 34, God proclaimed his name. He proclaimed his name. He told Moses that he would proclaim his name. And then in the next chapter, we read God speaking, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. You remember he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. And someone told me recently, or they asked me actually, they asked me, do you know why God put Moses in the cleft of the rock? And I said, no. And this person said, because Moses could not put himself in the cleft of the rock. How true that is, my friends. But of him, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, but of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who puts men and women, or I should say, who put men and women into Christ Jesus? God did. God did. God put Moses in the cleft of the rock. And then God passed by and he proclaimed his name. Let's read this. I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Now here it is. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty. God proclaimed his name. So it is the Lord himself who is the strong tower. The name of the Lord. Our proverb tells us the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It is God himself who is the strong tower, my friends. And the psalmist said this, "The Lord is the strong tower, and there is no force or enemy which is able to destroy him." The psalmist said, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." And listen now, his greatness is unsearchable. That's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God who is the strong tower. He is great, and he's greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Each and every one of his attributes. Someone said in this time when people are going through this crisis, that one of the best things to do is to show gratitude, to be thankful, to overcome fear, to be thankful, to be gracious, and just to sit down and meditate upon the various attributes or characteristics of God, and give thanks unto God that he is all-powerful, that he is all-wise, that he is eternal, that he is immutable, that he is love, that he does show mercy and grace, my friends. Think about these things. Meditate on these things, the greatness of our God. What a remedy to overcome fear. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, my second statement is simply this. There are the righteous. This proverb says the righteous. You know, in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, he is showing that all men, both Jews and Gentiles, that all men, we are all, when we come into this world, fallen individuals, we are sinful beings. And he quotes a verse from the Old Testament which says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Ah, you say. The Apostle Paul says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." But here this proverb says, "The righteous." And so people say, that's a contradiction. Have you ever had anyone tell you that? Oh, the Bible is full of contradictions. That's not true, my friends. And if someone tells you that, you might say back unto them, well, tell me one. Show me one contradiction. No, there's no contradictions in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the product of the same divine author, God the Holy Spirit, who inspired men to write the Word. No. How can this both be true? What the Apostle Paul quotes, "There's none righteous, no, not one," and what the proverb tells us, that there are righteous. How can this both be true? Well, consider this. When Paul quotes that verse, "There's none righteous," he is in the middle of teaching how it is that sinful, fallen men may be made righteous, may be declared righteous by God. Actually, he's answering Job's question of old, when Job said, "How then should man be just, righteous with God?" Paul is in the middle of declaring how it is that men and women who, yes, by nature are guilty, may be made or declared righteous by God. By nature, by man's goodness, by the deeds of the law, there is none righteous. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh, the scripture says, be justified, be declared righteous in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know, sometimes people will tell you, "Well, I'm just living by the Ten Commandments." Well, you can't keep the Ten Commandments. The law, and that's part of the law, the Ten Commandments, the law shows us our need. It shows us our problem, my friends, but it doesn't give a remedy, not the law. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses, yes, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, that Paul is showing in this one verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. I believe it just sums it up so completely. How it is that a man who is by nature unrighteous may be made or declared righteous by the holy, righteous Lord God of heaven. How is that possible? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the apostle wrote this, "For he," that is God the Father, "hath made him," God the Son, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous," made the righteousness of God in him. You see, the Bible speaks about a transference. And that was pictured in the Old Testament, all of those animal sacrifices. Man would bring an animal. What would he do? Lay his hands on the head of that animal. And that was a picture. That's all it was, a picture of transferring that man's sins to the victim, to the animal that would be slain. But what actually happened, my friend, is God imputed, he charged his Son, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Son of God, he charged him with the sins of his people. And he suffered and paid the debt, the sin debt of his people. And that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is charged or imputed unto all that believe. Yes, my friends, that's how it is. The Scripture says there's none righteous. In ourselves, by our own works, by our own deeds, none righteous. Oh, but some are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. Now, here's the third statement, and I'll be brief. The third statement is, the righteous is safe. The righteous is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, trust in it. And you notice that word runneth. It's not just one time. This is something that in the last century, when I was growing up, it seems like this was taught everywhere. You know, you walk down a church aisle, you make a decision, you pray or repeat a prayer, and that's all settled and done. You know, it's once and for all. The Bible teaches that we come to Christ and we keep on coming. We believed yesterday, and if it is true faith, we believe today. And by the grace of God, we'll believe tomorrow. And the righteous runneth in to this strong tower, into the Lord. And we just keep on running in. The Scripture says, looking unto him. Not looked unto him, but looking unto him every day. Looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. Now let me give us four things. Four things. The righteous is safe. God said this through the prophet Isaiah, "Say you this to the righteous, it shall be well with him." Now let me give us four things hurriedly, four truths. The righteous is safe. The righteous is safe being one of God's children. The righteous is safe being one of God's children. In Ephesians 1 and verse 5, "Having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now, all men are God's creatures. All men. God had one Son who is his only begotten Son. But every other son of God is made a son by adoption. And you know, every parent, those of you who are listening to me, who are parents, You're going to do what you can to take care of your children. You're just going to do that because you love them. Now, if man, and I think about that verse where the Lord said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Yes, my friends, God's children, the righteous rather, are safe because they're God's children. They're in the family of God. And number two, God's children, the righteous, are safe because they're objects of God's love. They're objects of God's love, my friends. In that 17th chapter of John, where the Lord Jesus Christ is praying, we'd like to refer to this as his high priestly prayer. One of the things that he tells us there, and it's just full of blessings, truths, but one of the things he says in his prayer to the Father is that the Father loves us as he loved him. Can you imagine that? That's the way it reads. He loved us as he loved him. Love them as thou hast loved me. You say, who are those that God loves? They're those, if you look in that prayer, they're those that he gave unto his son. He gave them to be the sheep, and he's the shepherd. He gave them to be the bride, and he's the bridegroom. He gave them to be the members of his body, and he's the head. Yes. He has loved them with an everlasting love, the scripture says, even as he loved the Son. Number three, the righteous is safe because he's been named in an everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator. He's the surety. He's the messenger of this covenant, my friends. He is the covenant, really and truthfully. It was a covenant that God made with Christ and made with his people in Christ, promised eternal life before the foundation of the world. And number four, the righteous is safe being interceded for by our great high priest. Did you know just now, just as we are meeting together in this way while I'm preaching, that the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, he's even now at the Father's right hand making intercession for us. Wherefore, he is able also to save them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Apostle Peter, let me close with this passage from 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, abundant mercy, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Now listen, reserved for you in heaven. RSVP. There's a place there reserved for you if you're one of his children. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Yes, my friend, safe. I think of a hymn, the words of a hymn that we sing sometimes that Fanny Crosby wrote, and she wrote so many hymns that are so beautiful. But one hymn has words like this, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Yes, my friends, we may rest in Christ, in the Lord God, for he is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, I'm going to ask Bill Parker if he will come again, and he's going to sing a hymn, Close to Thee. It's number 328, if you have the hymn book we use here, Great Hymns of Faith. Close to Thee, what a beautiful hymn and what a beautiful prayer we'll be singing as we sing these words.